morning and welcome back to our series on security clearance appeals. This is your host, Attorney Alan Edmonds, and I am delighted to share my experience and expertise with you about a very, very important guideline, which is Guideline B, Foreign Influence. These are contained in the National Security Adjudicative Guidelines, and as many of you know from both my YouTube videos and my podcasts, these guidelines are used by all federal agencies. They may slap a different cover page on them, but the content or the guts of the guideline is the same for all agencies. And they're very important for you, the applicant, seeking a security clearance for the first time or renewing a clearance when over the last 5 years, you have been involved in some type of behavior or allegation that the government could determine is a risk to national security, and hence you get a statement of reasons. You know from my previous podcast that a SOR, or statement of reasons, is a written document. It's a formal notice to you, the applicant, that your security clearance is being denied, and it states the reasons for that denial, and it demands a formal response that is sufficient enough to receive a favorable review. And this gets me to something that is very important. And I want to take a few minutes right now to divert a little bit and talk about a statement of reasons or a notice of proposed action or a letter of intent. You people get these and you look at them and you think that you can respond yourself, and you try it, you do it, you send it in, or you use a union rep, and you send in a response that, quite honestly, is totally inadequate. My question to you is, you get through college, you've done very well in college, maybe you went to engineering, maybe you went to computer science. You get this degree. Some of you go on for a master's degree. I have clients that are double Harvard, double Stanford. They got their undergrad and graduate degrees at Stanford. And they get out with an MBA in computer science or engineering or mathematics. It could be any one of 50 concentrations. Then you apply to a big company like Lockheed Martin or Raytheon, and you get the dream job. You get an incredible dream job, and your salary starts at 150K, and you start the job, and while you're at the job, the final adjudication comes in from your security clearance application. You fill out an SF-86. They started you at your job. You're working. You love it. It's a culmination of all your hard work, and then you get a statement of reasons or an SOR. And some of you mistakenly, because of your talent and your intellect, try and handle this challenge, this process yourself. And it really surprises me because you're moving everything on the table. It's like a poker game. And you're putting all your chips on the table and you're saying, no problem with this SOR. I've talked to a bunch of people. I talked to my FSO and I can do this myself. And you do it yourself and you fail. And then you say, my goodness, I thought this was something I could handle. You send in an answer to the SOR and it fails. And the government says, well, you can submit another written response, or you can go to a hearing. And some of you say, well, I think I'll go to the hearing, and you actually go by yourself. And you get in the hearing, you're against a U.S. attorney. It's a formal court hearing with a judge and a court reporter, and you get annihilated. You go to the hearing, you get humiliated and embarrassed, and you lose. And now, 4 years of college, maybe three additional years or two additional years of an MBA, and you've lost your dream job. Your dream shot is in shatters at your feet, And you have only yourself to blame because what were you trying to do? You're trying to save money. So you're trying to save a couple grand, avoid getting an attorney. You have this can-do attitude. And it just shatters me when I see these stories because then these people call me up and they say, "What can I do?" And I ask, "Well, how far did you go by yourself?" And invariably they say, "Well, I answered the SOR. That didn't work. And then I went to the hearing by myself and that didn't work. And now I'm on my last ground, my last chance for an appeal." And that's a deep, deep hole to get out of. The government will tell you, "Oh, you can reapply in 1 year." And that's true. But after the first year following a denial, the success rate is dismal. So my question to you is, why are you doing this? Why are you pretending to handle a legal case by yourself? And you have to resist the temptation of both the government attorney saying, "Oh, you can do this yourself. Don't worry. The judge is very understanding." Or an FSO that says, "Well, I'll give you some guidance. You can do this yourself." Or a union rep that says, "We can help you," and they can help you. And I'm not disparaging union reps, but they seldom go to hearings. And you rely on that advice, and you so readily put your career on the poker table. You're all in, and then you lose. Please don't consider doing this, okay? The cost of an attorney, at least at the Edmonds Law Firm, is not prohibitive. If you're making 150K a year, it sure doesn't approach even 5% of that through the whole process. So think about that and get help, get professional help. I've been doing this for 45 years and I have offices across the United States and we're going to treat you incredibly well. You're an important client. Every client is important. And we're going to do a 20 to 25 page response to your statement of reasons. And we're going to attach all the components that are required. And we win a lot of these responses without any further processing. That means you don't go to a hearing. And then, secondly, a lot of our cases we win 2 or 3 days before the hearing when the government receives our trial notebook. They call me on the phone and they say, "We're going to withdraw the SOR." So you win. So those are the opportunities that you have with the Edmonds Law Firm at 800-481-2526 that you don't have yourself and you don't have with other attorneys that don't have the experience. So let's get back to this guideline B because you've called me on this. It's one of the most listened podcasts. And your questions are fantastic. So I want to concentrate on that. I've already told you that guideline B is the contained in the National Security Adjudicative Guidelines. And the concern is foreign contacts and interests that include, but not limited to, business, financial, property interests are a national security concern if they result in divided allegiance. And divided allegiance is a key phrase. Divided allegiance means, yes, you're in the United States, but you still have a foot in your former country of birth or origin. And we're concerned because you have a business there, you have bank accounts there, you have relatives there that have received government retirements, or you have relatives that have served in the military. There are numerous connections called a nexus that you might have with the country that you immigrated from. And the government in the United States is saying, "We are concerned about divided allegiance." And they're also concerned, and this is language right from the directive, they're concerned that the national security issues want to center on circumstances that you may be manipulated or induced to help a foreign person, group, organization, or government in a way that's inconsistent with U.S. interests. This is the classic situation where a third world intelligent agency comes to your family's house in Iraq or Afghanistan or China or Taiwan or India. They come to the house and they say, you better stop doing this activity. You better stop helping the United States. We've learned that you're a linguist or that your son is a linguist for the U.S. military. He better stop it. And you may say, that's preposterous. Well, it's not. I just did a case about 2 weeks ago, and my client, who has worked for the United States military for 12 years, was confronted in his country of origin by individuals from that government saying, you better stop helping the United States military by being a linguist. So that's the concern that the U.S. has. And it is a real concern. And here we are in 2023, and that concern is still present. So now we want to deal with, what kind of interest do you have in that foreign country? And the first can be assets. Do you have property there? If so, you better consult me on how to handle the property ownership interest or inheritance interest. Do you have bank accounts in the foreign country? If so, call me at 800-481-2526. The bank accounts are a connection that you have with your former country, and it's going to be antagonistic to a security clearance. The next concern that we frequently see is a business activity. I have some clients that purchase automobiles in the United States and they ship them back to certain countries in Africa. And they have a brother or they have relatives there that are automobile dealers, and they accept these imported vehicles that my clients send. It's a very lucrative business, but it's a connection. And so my clients are trying to seek a security clearance in the United States, but they have this side business where they're shipping automobiles back. And this is just one example. And they're selling them for a tremendous profit at in some country in Africa. So the United States said, that's a divided loyalty. And that's an awful close connection. And it's a significant connection because you're making a lot of money. So, and then I've already talked about relatives in the country, the number of relatives you have, and how often you see them, the frequency of contact, either by phone or social media, is really important. And how you present that is something you want to consult us about. And finally, a lot of relatives that are in the country are elderly. They're getting retirements. They may have worked for the military when they were employed. And those are concerns that must be mitigated. My office is expert at preparing cases and mitigation, and we can help. Another concern, and I want to talk about this in a very objective way. Many of you are immigrants. You come to the United States. You speak English very well, but you have an incredible accent, and it's very hard to understand you. You are not the best advocate in a courtroom for your case. Every time you speak, you're reminding the administrative judge of the country that you are from, and that creates an impression that may or may not be accurate, that you're still very much an Iraqi or an Indian or a Taiwanese or a Vietnamese, simply because of the association of the language and your difficulty in speaking in a stressed courtroom experience. So if you have, you may be the most brilliant Chinese computer scientist and you're in the United States and you've been here for 15 years, but your accent is so heavy that it's difficult to understand you, don't represent yourself. Okay? Don't represent yourself. You're trying to get a security clearance, and you really have to mitigate all the concerns. And part of that concern is your speaking ability. So get somebody to act as your attorney that can properly present the case to the judge. And this gets me to another area where I have some fantastic Arab American clients, and they bring people into the courtroom that wear traditional dress from the country of origin. And or they want to show family photos, and the photos show the women in traditional customary dress from the country of origin. This doesn't help you. And you need somebody to guide you through the presentation of evidence. And that's what the Edmonds Law Firm does. We have offices coast to coast. We help active duty military as well as civilians. And our clients are deployed around the world. We are a global security clearance law firm that handles both military law and aspects of federal law if you're a federal employee. So don't be shy. Give us a call. And I want to tell you about the resources I've spoken about earlier. We have wonderful videos on YouTube at Edmonds Law. And we also have a number of podcasts on this platform, which is Spotify, as well as Apple and other platforms for you. These resources are free, and I hope they will help you get a better understanding of what the government is doing with these adjudicative guidelines. These are tough times right now. There's all kinds of contentious political environments on the global level between countries, and that affects your security clearance. So this is a comprehensive examination of your clearance, but it also includes not only internal problems that are on your SF-86, but it also includes consideration of external problems. That's what I have become an expert dealing with, and I hope you'll call me. This is Attorney Alan Edmonds. Thank you very much.